Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'd add one thing to what Sean Payton said. Young and hungry is dangerous, but when you combine that with an experienced head coach, you've got a roster that's young and hungry and a guy that knows how to do it, calling the shots. Yeah. That adds to the danger.
You think this is a tough draw for Josh Allen in round one?
Absolutely, because Patrick Surtain, he is a guy that is very much so in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
I hate the draw that I got with the Denver Broncos. They play great defense. They got a great head coach, a young quarterback who's athletic and accurate. To me, that's the most intriguing game coming up next weekend.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome, Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Takes.
Sorry, I can't. I'm really distracted all of a sudden. If you see this on Twitter, I see the Jets are asking to interview you.
Me?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know you were a candidate.
I guess I am. I don't know. I don't know anything about
it. My God, they're talking to everybody. The giant cast a wide net, I guess. I mean, no, I don't need to make jokes. Maybe they'll get somebody good. Like, not Rex Ryan. But, man, the list of people they're talking to runs for a while. They got a long GM and coach both. They got a lot of work to do.
I guess. I saw Kruger on their list, but I don't know if it's going to go as far as to me. He's due for a new sport, I would think, by now. Joe Brady, right?
Right.
That's a thing?
He's on the list. Yep.
So you had some people there talking up the Broncos. Here we are. 9-point favorites, the Bills, against Denver. I meant to, I should have, I wanted to get some context on point spreads. Like, 9 is a good, that's a healthy number.
Mm-hmm.
9.5. So the bettors, the odds makers, if not also the bettors, are not as fearful of the Denver Broncos as maybe these ESPN hype train guys. How do you feel?
What did I say yesterday? 8 when we talked about it on postgame?
Mm-hmm. Might have started. I think it moved up a little bit.
I'm taking it as a win. ESPN bet still says 8.5. Anyway, whatever. Any team in the playoffs should present a challenge. We didn't exactly get to pick opponents out of the entire playoff pool. I might have picked Pittsburgh right now if we could pick anyone, but it was never really that realistic that Pittsburgh would end up as far down where the Bills would end up seeing them in this round. So of the available ideas, Denver still was my favorite idea, with the caveat of, you know, not knowing about Tua. Miami, if without Tua, I mean, if they could have found their way to it, but obviously they didn't. They even, I think, said Tyreek Hill wouldn't go back in the game. Like, we knew what the score was. We're done. So it never even got to that. But assuming Tua healthy, which when we started this whole process weeks, if not months ago, I was assuming he'd be healthy, Denver still felt like the best choice. That doesn't mean they don't pose a threat, but I'm going to be playing somebody good. I mean, I can't land on the Carolina Panthers here. I got to play a team that's
interesting,
in the playoffs.
Interesting example. Because they're kind of
a little hot as they finish the year. Yeah, I know.
I think the worst two teams in the AFC playoffs have to be the Steelers and the Texans. Denver, the thing about Denver for me is, so they had like a perfect game yesterday. We were on the post-game show, and at one point, Knicks was 17 for 17 for 183 and 3. Like, what? How much better? You can't do any better than that. They were just, every pass was complete. Chiefs were going 3 and out. It's the backups, but still. Like, here was Denver in a must-win game, and they left no doubt. It was yesterday, though. It feels sort of generally in these kind of things right to me to more so ignore the most recent performance. You know, just don't let recency bias get in your head. Still, I got to say something for what they did in a spot where rookie quarterback, still Kansas City, still Carson Wentz. I mean, he's played in big games. Maybe the Chiefs put him, you know, to the test a little bit, and it just absolutely did not happen. So credit to the Broncos for that. I don't know what it means for this game. Maybe nothing.
I'm going to settle on maybe just so I can sleep at night. I'll just admit that up front here that there could be some self-preservation involved here. I'm not going to put any stock in it at all. You know, if they come in here and throw it down the field and get big plays to Mims or something and just have a game in them that I don't foresee against actual starters in a game that the team they're playing really badly wants and needs, you know, then I'll tip my hat to them. I just don't expect them to be capable of doing anything close to what they did yesterday. You know, I don't know what, you know, who was on the field for Kansas City we know wasn't their best. How motivated they were, we can have no idea. I mean, we can guess as much as we want, as much as to go to the length to say they didn't want to win the game at all because they didn't want Cincinnati in the playoffs. However far you want to go with all that, I just think it's in a season-ending scenario where one team absolutely has nothing and you could convince me they have something to gain, much like the Bills yesterday, by not winning the game. You know, the Bills hurt the division opponent by a few draft slots. The Chiefs keep the Bengals out of the tournament. I don't know if that mattered at all to them or not. But if I were a Chiefs fan, I would have been thinking about whether or not I want the Bengals in to try to take out Buffalo. There's a lot of things you can get lost in. But the bottom line to me is, Kansas City had no reason to do anything other than what they did yesterday, which is show up and play 60 minutes and just get out of there.
I don't think the Bengals, my opinion, mattered at all to Kansas City. It could have, but the game wasn't close anyway. They were going to rest their stars. They did. Denver got out easily, early, game over by halftime, and like that's it. So I doubt the Bengals mattered. I mean, we had these conversations with the Bills for the last month, and just sort of what you can do to affect the field. You can only do so much. You should only want to do so much. Just make sure the Bills succeeded. They lost yesterday, but they were successful in getting to the end of the season without more injury trouble. That was big for you. It was big for a lot of us that they not have what happened last year happen again.
Right.
And so that was a win, right? That they are pretty healthy.
They effectively had a bye. I mean, they had to get on a plane and go to a game, but very many of the key, most of the key men played very little, if at all, in the game. And so, yeah, and I'm assuming that they knew that all week. So it is like a week off going into that game. So you still got to play the three now. But yeah, last year, week 18 hurt them badly. And, you know, we knew by the time they went into week 18, they weren't getting the one, but they needed it for the two in the division. They went into the day perhaps being on the outside looking in if it went a certain way. So very different mental mindset and physical getting into that game and having to go through it. This year, anyway, in the final week, they were able to you know, really effectively do what Kansas City did, which is not bother about the result and not worry about playing you guys outside of guys who had, you know, to varying degrees, financial incentives to get out there and do something.
Well, how do you feel? We finally made it to this week. 2-7, Buffalo versus Denver. Before the season, middle of the season, you couldn't have asked for too much better. It was always about the one. The Chiefs did not give the Bills any room for that. Just the one loss until yesterday. They didn't mess up at all. They lost the game here, and that was it. So, best you could have done was the two. That happened. And you've got a healthy team. You've got an experienced team. You've got the Chiefs down the road, probably, or at least maybe, in Kansas City. You've got the Ravens. Dare we talk about anybody but Denver? I mean, it couldn't have gone too much better. The only way I think it goes better is if you have the one seed and the bye, of course.
Right.
But they don't have that. And now it becomes a question of how good are they really? Which I do think, like, that's a conversation I'm willing to have, meaning that they're not on their best day what Baltimore is on its best day. And I don't know about Kansas City for this, but Kansas City has three rings. Like, I think the Bills, of course, are capable of beating anybody, but I still wonder if without a turnover advantage, they can beat, not just hang with. Hang with, we've done that. Beat these other top teams. And, you know, that could still happen. They could win without it. They could get that in these games. We have to see. But it's a question for me. It's a question for me. There's been pushback from me about everybody eats, you know, and whether that's actually good. I like that they all like each other, you know, that's wonderful. But do they have, like, sort of the go-to plays players in these games? Is the Denver game maybe not one of them? Is that a game where, I mean, they've been favored once this year by 9 or 9.5. And that was the Titans game. So the Broncos are probably a lot better than the Titans, but that's that's a 9-point spread, right? Like the game in Week 7 against Tennessee that the Bills won 34-10, they were favored by 9.5 in that game. Nine, it says a lot. Baltimore, by the way, is also favored by 9, 9.5 in their game, which I think is kind of shocking given what Pittsburgh, it says so much about how Pittsburgh looks.
Yep.
Because what they've done against the Ravens over the years, if I'm Baltimore, I don't love it. I don't want to be a 9.5-point favorite. I really don't want to have to play the Steelers, but it is what it is.
I think the rest of the pool, just as a quick sidebar, kind of, we talked about this on Friday, and weren't you like, get me L.A. in there at the 5. They go to Houston. I like that because then if everybody, you know, as long as the Bills don't get knocked out here, then I got to look at L.A. going in to Pittsburgh, or going into Kansas City, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's...
If the Ravens win,
The Ravens win, that's right. The Ravens have to win to make that happen. So I kind of like that. And you got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and even if Baltimore wins, I think that game still probably takes a toll. Like, those are usually heavy, nasty games between those two teams. So
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I think the bracket looks halfway decent in that respect, too. You know, I need one upset that I don't even think really, well, it wouldn't be an upset. The Chargers are favored in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if everybody else, if the big seeds win, then you've got to look at that. And that,
well,
so I kind of like that.
What do you think, anybody, what do you think is best and worst? This would be assuming a Bills win, which I just want to put that out as a qualifier. I'm not exactly doing that. But if you look ahead, is it better if Pittsburgh wins in Baltimore and then goes to Kansas City? The Chargers are the only team of the 4 potential second-round Chiefs opponents I could see winning there. And I would give the Chargers a real chance of winning in Kansas City. I doubt Houston can hack it. I doubt Pittsburgh can hack it. I think there's a Baltimore thing when it comes to Pittsburgh that maybe sort of wakes them up. More so, it's more that the Ravens just get tight if they're to lose that game, that's how I would see it, is that they just sort of get tight and get behind. So Pittsburgh is like, oh, we could actually win. And then that happens. But if it's the Chargers going to Kansas City, like if you want that, then you would have to have the Ravens win.
You're going
to
deal with Baltimore yourself then.
And then you're playing Baltimore the second week. There's three teams on one tier. And Kansas City's not going to play. So you probably would just think the best chance of a Super Bowl is for Baltimore to lose here, right? And then whatever happens, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, you get
the Chargers,
the 4 or 5.
Yeah, right, in that winner.
That's got to be better than the Ravens. If the Ravens beat Pittsburgh like and cover by that spread, then everybody's fears, whether they're fears or just like the respect that they get for that team, will be in full bloom going into the game against Buffalo, because they'll have been impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They have the highest upside, I think, of anybody. And so that's what you're dealing with in the second round. I don't hate it for the Bills. I think the Bills might even be favored in that game. Wouldn't they be?
Yes,
at home?
I think so.
Assuming they look good too?
Past playoff performance folded into that, I think, yes. I think they'd be, you know, 2.5, maybe. We'll see if we get there. But that's just that's an early look ahead line.
Yes.
Ravens at Bills divisional.
Yes.
Round.
You want to see if you can get to that three. We will see. 803-0550. Yesterday was sort of nothing.
The only interesting things about yesterday all involved New England to me.
Yeah.
You know, and unless you're how interesting is it that they put Cook back in to get his touchdown? We'll talk to Eric Wood here in about 45 minutes. I didn't hear what he said at the time on the broadcast, but I know I felt nervous seeing that. I felt like that opportunity came and went, and like that's how it goes. That's life in the big city, kid. But they got him back out there and obviously got away with it. I mean, nothing. Hey, he touched the ball twice and got in the end zone, got his touchdown, and sat down. They got him his yards. Then Miller got his sack. Martin got his punt. You know, so we had those things. But, you know, that's only so interesting. You know, McDermott being aware of those things and getting Martin that opportunity to punt from the New England 35, you know, I highly doubt that's something you would see him do in a regular game at this point and eschew a long field goal. But he probably did that for Martin's sake, so good for him. But the New England side of it, May playing one series, Milton looking as good as he did, and then, you know, we're 45 minutes or an hour into our postgame show and Gerard Mayo is fired. So the coach of the team the Bills played and lost to didn't even make it out of our postgame show with his job intact. So that was all way more interesting than anything happened on the Bills side.
Mm-hmm. Patriots falling from 1-4 in the draft order. We have our referee for Sunday. Do you have a name you're hoping for or a name you're dreading? Do you have referees like in your head like that?
I don't. I at times here, especially at this time of the year, I've gotten in the weeds pretty far on, you know, what crew's tendencies are and that kind of stuff. But no, I'm not sitting here hoping against. I don't have a guy that I know. I know there is one who like disproportionately calls penalties against the Bills versus their opponents or something.
Mm-hmm.
I could guess it's Hockley, but that might be the only name I can think of. Cheffers? Is there a Cheffers out there?
There is so a Cheffers.
Right.
What a great name.
Who do they have?
They got my favorite ref.
Oh.
Sunday. The guy that, if I'm watching an NFL game, and you don't know who the referee is going to be until the first penalty. You see this guy, you go, oh, this is going to be fine. This is not going to get stupid. This guy's got it.
All right.
He's not one of these showmen. He's not somebody who goes, holding defense, just to get a rise out of you to try to make you, you know, have to eat out of his hand.
He's not wearing the
skin, you don't know.
He's not wearing the skin tight, look at my biceps shirt.
The guy last night, Alan Eck, put the sleeves on, doing a disservice to everybody. Like, where? Come on, we want him to be ripped, but we don't see it. Was it last night or was it a cold weather game? I think it was a cold weather game.
Last night it was the Bills game. Would have been indoors, so yeah.
Might have been the Bills game. Alan Eck.
Yeah.
No, it's Vinovich. Cheffers.
Bill Vinovich.
Bill Vinovich. Yeah. This is the guy I want. Cheffers is more like he is so above you that he will give you no emotion. It's a monotone. It's like, I do not, go ahead and boo me. I do not care. You could be heckling me right in my face right now. I'm not going to react to it. That's Cheffers. Vinovich, though, just seems like sort of a regular guy. Mm-hmm. He's making the calls, you know? He exudes fairness.
Oh, really? Is that that's what he does?
He's my number one.
He exudes fairness.
I think, get back to me in a week, but I say
all right,
he does.
All right.
I'm a Vinovich fan. If I could buy his jersey.
Look at that.
I don't know his number. I don't think I know any of the officials' numbers. I think Jerry Markbright was 9. Has the show ever sounded older?
Good Lord.
I think he was number 9. Does that sound right?
When's this game?
Tony is on WGR. Hello, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Tony. Thanks for calling us.
I don't know if this was brought up yesterday, but this came to mind. Do you think that the coach for New England was canned so quickly because maybe the owner and him had some sort of wink-wink agreement to maybe not win?
No,
I don't think so. It could be they did cost them spots in the draft, but I think the way the wind was blowing on this guy indicates that they knew, the Patriots knew. He stepped in it publicly with the media numerous times, and I think when I hear the owner today talking about I did a disservice to this guy because he wasn't ready for this or something to that effect, I think that's a part of it. So I think he was getting fired no matter what happened yesterday.
Gotcha. I just thought it was so quick. It's like, wow, yeah, it's like you want to send a message or something.
Right.
But
I think they meant to lose. I think that's what Milton was by his playing this game. They could have sat May. I think it's kind of weird that they didn't. But like you said on postgame, maybe they want to get a streak going with him. He's into one, and let me just have, I won't get hurt. Give me 3 plays like Allen had one. And so, okay. But they had an out with, they're sitting there with the number one overall pick. They had an out with May. He had a hand injury that they put on the injury report. He hurt his head last week. That was easy. Like, they could have said, it's not safe for him. It doesn't make sense for him to play, which is probably would have been right. But okay, he ends up starting. Fine. Then they take him right out for Milton. Milton, not Brissett. Brissett would have been more believable. He's the backup, and we're not tanking. This guy's won games in the league, and he's next. No, they don't do that either. Milton, they can justify because he's young, and this is a week where everybody will listen to, we want to see, what the young guys look like. But could they have been expecting him to be really good? I think that probably surprised them. I think that surprised everybody that he was really good in this game. It was backups. It was a situation where it was more possible to be good because the Bills, didn't need the game. But I don't know. Still, like the Patriots, even trickling down to the head coach, could have easily understood, would have easily understood why losing the game is better. But your guys are going to play their hardest. That never changes. You can't rein that in ever in sports. So that's going to happen. It's just a question of what decisions do you make with the roster? And for me, playing their number 3 was, okay, well, how well can this really be expected to go? And then they go and win anyway. So I think that they had losing in mind. Not like we will definitely lose. You can never control that. But I think they had losing in mind when they went to Milton and he just went and did really well. And that was enough. The Bills, when the Bills went to Mike White, they couldn't get a first down in the second half, which, I think is also fine. The Bills were fine for doing that, I think. The only thing that surprised me about the Bills really was, like I said yesterday, as the game got late and they were down 4 and then eventually 7, but it's 20-16 on New England's late possession there, and the Bills used their timeouts.
Like they were still trying to play to win the game.
Yeah, because that's what you would do if you were playing for real. And I don't know, McDermott might have gone back and forth in his mind about like sort of what looks bad here. It may not have meant much of anything to him, what New England's draft status was, which, who knows? I don't know that answer, but say what you want about that. So he uses the timeouts. The Bills get another turn and then just go, 4 and out again anyway. And that's the game. So 13-4 is the final record. It is all about Denver. Who wants to offer a Denver take? You watched them yesterday after the Bills game was over. You saw Bo Nix distribute the ball to Nate Adkins, Jaleel McLaughlin, Troy Franklin, Devon Vele, Javonte Williams, Marvin Mims Jr., Lil Jordan Humphrey, Audric Estime, and Cortland Sutton. In that order, as they ended up, by the time Sutton got his first touch, the game was already over. Like, it was a bomb and 14-0, and like that was it, 38-0 the final. Do you respect Denver, and to what extent? 803-0550 for your calls. Buffalo Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5. At 6, it's the Sabres, the Steve Foley Law pregame show, home versus Washington. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Lines open, WGR.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.